Intel's announcement of a $20 billion stock offering is the biggest single corporate story of the weekend. And the detail that matters most is that CEO Lip-Bu Tan invested millions of his own money in that offering alongside institutional investors. That's a skin-in-the-game signal that's hard to fake. When the chief executive of a company that has been through 2 years of painful restructuring writes a personal check into a dilutive offering, markets pay attention in a specific way.
Intel's trajectory under Tan has been marked by a genuine strategic pivot back toward manufacturing, specifically the foundry business model where Intel makes chips designed by other companies. The company has been investing heavily in its U.S. and European fab capacity, partly supported by CHIPS Act funding. But building new semiconductor fabs is a capital-intensive multi-year commitment, and the $20 billion offering suggests the company either needs the capital sooner than expected or wants to accelerate its foundry timeline aggressively.
There's a competitive context that makes this timing interesting. TSMC and Samsung are both expanding U.S. manufacturing capacity under their own CHIPS Act agreements, and the window for Intel to establish itself as the dominant domestic foundry before those expansions come fully online is roughly 2027 to 2029. Tan may be pushing to move faster precisely because that window doesn't stay open indefinitely.
The S&P futures reading of 7,802, down about 20 points or 0.25% from Friday's close, reflects a market in watchful mode. The geopolitical stories, the military admission from Trump, the ongoing Iran conflict implications, none of those are positive catalysts. But it's not a fear reading. It's a let's see what Monday brings reading.
Mark Cuban's California wealth tax warning fits into a broader pattern of business voices flagging what they see as a deteriorating investment climate in the state. The specific mechanism Cuban is worried about is the treatment of unrealized gains. The wealth tax proposal would require founders to pay taxes on the paper value of their startup equity even before they've sold any shares. For a founder who owns 40% of a company valued at $200 million on paper, that's a massive cash liability triggered by a number that hasn't converted to actual money yet.
The counterargument, and it's a serious one, is that the extreme concentration of wealth among tech founders is itself a market distortion that the state has a legitimate interest in addressing, particularly given California's housing affordability crisis and public service funding gaps. The policy debate is genuinely difficult, but Cuban's practical point about behavioral response is probably correct. Founders who can incorporate in Delaware and live in Texas will, if the tax differential is large enough.
The question for California's legislature is whether the revenue it would collect from the founders who stay exceeds the revenue lost from those who leave, plus the downstream economic activity they take with them. That's an empirical question, and the honest answer is that the state's economic modeling on this has been criticized as optimistic by independent analysts.